Well, I read to you again two verses from Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Well, my topic this morning is from these two verses that the Lord Jesus spoke. And as you know, he spoke this Sermon on the Mount, and he was speaking to his disciples specifically, directing his talk to his 12 who were around him, where there were thousands who were listening to him, thousands who were engaged in every word that he spoke, because they were not used to hearing such things. They were used to hearing the Pharisees, the scribes, go on and on, and their discourses, their teaching was hard, was difficult, was uninteresting, but Christ was different. And so thousands gathered to hear him preach and teach. And he used, as you know, the everyday things of life to convey spiritual meaning and to talk to people about spiritual issues and not just the do's and don'ts of life. He knew what he was talking about. He spoke with authority, as one who really understood and knew about the things that he was talking, not in a guessing sort of way, not in a hypothetical way, but as a person who was clear. And as you read, if you read this sermon, you will see that he spoke about spiritual things and directed people how to get to heaven. He showed people what was impossible for them naturally to find, the way into the kingdom of God, the way to obtain God's blessing, the way to receive favor from God, and how to end this life by going into everlasting life. But he also warned them about being rejected by God, that not everyone is going to be accepted by him. That for some who go in a certain way to God, they will be accepted. But there are others to whom the door will be closed because of the manner in which they go to God, or if they go at all. So there is acceptance and rejection. You see this even in what we read. Not everyone who says, "Lord, Lord," not everyone will go to the kingdom. Not everyone's house will stand, but only those who do the will of God. So he taught people this so crucial, important thing about how they can enter the kingdom of God, enter into God's blessing, enter into and have eternal life. And that's also what these two verses here are talking about. And my topic here is the two roads in life. One which leads to blessing, one which leads to God, one which leads to eternal blessing from God, and the other which leads, the Lord says here, to destruction, to loss, to an eternal loss. And we'll be looking and considering these two verses in the short time that we have this morning. So the Lord here, he's on the hill. That we said there are many who are listening to him, and some commentators think that perhaps on this hill he can see a city, and the entrance of a city in those times, often a city had gates through which the people would enter in, and perhaps he could see a city which had a large gate, the main gate into the city, and people streaming, pouring in to that city through that broad, that wide entrance. And there is another gate, a small door, a narrow door. And there were not many people, but just one or twos going in one by one. And this door maybe was used for more of the person, of the admin of the city. They were taking care of things, providing the supplies of the city or other individual actions. But it was a very narrow door through which people passed. And so the Lord maybe takes this picture, which was common and known to the local people, and uses it to give them this spiritual message. And the first lesson that I'd like to draw from here is, from what the Lord is saying, is life is a journey. Our life in this world is a journey. We have a starting point and we have an end point. We have a place where we begin and we have a place where we end. And we are carried along this journey. Something, some power, it seems, is just carrying us on to the end point. We cannot continue forever in this world. But there's just something else. Call it time, call it energy. But there is something that is taking us on day by day to our end point. It's like a line. Every line has a beginning point and an end point. Life is like that. It's a line. Whereabouts are we on that line? Every line is different. Every line may be short or it may be longer or maybe very long. We cannot say. We want it to be very long, but we do not know. But it will end one day. That's the point. We may want it to say, no, stop. But we cannot. We have to get off. When we arrived, when we came here today, we came on the tube, came on the Bakerloo line. It took us, stopped at Queen's Park. And the message came over the tannoy. Everyone off. This train terminates here. I want to stay on the train. I want to go to Harold Wilson. No, you have to get off the train. You can't stay on there. And life is like that. You may say, I want to continue in life. I want to continue life's journey. But there will come a point where it terminates. And then the Lord says, where will you be? Where will you be? Because at the end of that line, the final end point will be where you stay forever. The final place, now we are moving, now we cannot stop. But when the final place you arrive at, there you will sit, there you will stay, there you will live, as it were, for eternity. And the Lord says, it's either one of two places. Either it's heaven or and life, or it's hell and loss. So life is a journey. You may be going through a very good point. You may say, oh, I really like where I am in life now. I'm very happy with it. Maybe you're a very strong young man or young woman. And you have energy to do a lot of things. But you cannot stay in that time. Time will take you on. That power will take you on until you reach a point where you're weak and your strength has gone. And sicknesses come. As much as you try to prevent it, it will come. You may be in a special moment where you think, well, I'm doing really well in my work. I'm successful. People respect me. People call me boss. I have a high salary. I want to stay in this moment. I want to stay in this time forever. But you can't. It will take you on to the next stage. You may be very beautiful. You say, I want to retain my beauty. I like the way that I look. But you can't. Try as much as many people try to retain their beauty, it disappears with age and time. So there's this power is a word that is carrying us forward, and we cannot resist it. No one has ever succeeded in defeating it. It's no respecter of persons. And so, friends, remember that we are only on a journey going through life, whether we're believers or you're unbelievers. This world is not really your home. This world is just a stopping point. You're placed on this in this world for a short time. And what you do with your time is so important. And that leads me to my second point, that because what determines then, what will determine where you end up, whether you end up in life or you end up in an eternal loss, what determines your end point? What determines that eternal place where you will be? Well, it depends on how you live your life in this world. It's how you conduct yourself as you're going through life in this world. That determines how your final destination. Which suggests to us and tells us that then life is serious, friends. Life is not a joke. Life is something that we have to treat very seriously. How is it with us? Do we take life seriously? Or do we think, well, you know, are we very lightweight? There's no substance to us. It's games and toys and adult toys or big toys, you know, cars, or there are things that make us very, are we very lightweight people? And they have nothing deep about us. We do not take life in a serious way and not feel that, well, I'm accountable to God of how I live my life. In the book of Ecclesiastes in the Old Testament, Solomon, you know, said to the young man, he said, I want to eat, drink, and be merry. Yes, I want to be happy. And so go ahead, do. Live your life for yourself. Eat, drink, and be merry. But know, at the end of it, he says, God will bring you into judgment. That you have to give an account for how you've lived your life. You see? So life is serious. And the Lord wants to impress these things upon us. Yes, you need to attend to your education. Yes, you need to attend to your jobs. Yes, you need to gain enough money to survive, to live in this world. Yes, you must look after your family. But there's more to it than that. The deep things of God, the serious things. Are you thinking about those things? Life, my friends, is serious. So let's look at these two roads. And the first road we'll look at is this wide road, this broad road that many people are traveling on. And it speaks to us of a road, a life lived without God. The people who are traveling on this road have no real consideration for God. They're not serious about their walk with God. They're not serious about how they are living their lives. They are just casually walking along on this road, a life without God. There's no prayer in their life. There's no Bible reading. There's no praying and seeking God and seeking to know His will and to do His will. They're not seeking to glorify God. They want a life without God. That's what they want. That's what they really, really desire. And the Lord's saying, there are many people who are entering through this road, through this gate. There are many people. It's broad, it's wide, it's spacious. Not only are there many, many people, it's spacious, it's comfortable to walk along this road. But it leads to destruction. People who are following this road, sometimes many of them who are on this road, a life without God, are just following the crowd. They haven't really thought about it. Everybody else is doing that. Everybody else is living their life without God. I'll do the same. So people sometimes are not really thinking, following along, doing what is the popular thing. But the majority, friends, is not always right. Often the majority is wrong. Today we see even in society there are people believe in the climate change, the global warming. And I'm not saying if it's true or not, I'm not scientific enough to give an opinion on that. But there are many people, I believe, who are just following because everybody else says climate change is destroying our earth, climate change is destroying our lives. It may be true, may not be true. But my point is more that there are many people who haven't really examined the issue and searched for themselves and found out for themselves, well, is it really true? But they're just listening to the strong voices, the popular voices, the loud voices on TV and so on, which are saying to us, it's climate change is destroying our earth, destroying our nation. Also, you can look at it with evolution. Many people believe in evolution, but you ask them why, and they can't answer. They don't know why. They haven't really examined. They're just taking it, oh, my teacher said it's true, so it must be true. It's like that in China. When we are in China, many times we meet young students, university students, and talk to them about the Lord and creation, and they say, no, I believe in evolution, I believe in science. What is it? Okay. And then we talk to them little by little and so we show them the other side. What about this? What about design? What about the great complexity that there is in the world? What about the complexity there is in your life? Why do you reason? Why do you think? Why do you appreciate things that animals don't appreciate and reason in that way? And they begin to think, you're right. They haven't thought about the other side. They were just following along with the majority. And that's a danger that so many of us can fall into. And the Lord is saying, don't be so persuaded by the majority. Think, examine where you're going. And that's what this is all about. Where are you going? Where are you going? And another point here is these people are exercising, who are on this broad road. Many of them, sadly, are not thinking about where they're going. They're not asking the question, where are we going eternally? What will happen to me at the end of this life's journey? This life is all there is, they think. Some people think that. This life is all there is, even though God has put within them a knowledge that there is an afterlife. You know this, isn't it? Sadly, when sometimes a loved one passes away, and you in your mind, you may think, well, he's still there or she's still there. You never think of them as gone, as extinct, as being no more. You still feel that they are there in some way. And God has also given us, each one of us, put in our hearts a sense there is an afterlife. And that's a gift from Him to you, to help you to think and prepare for the world to come. And we shouldn't ignore it. We shouldn't bypass it. We say, no, we shouldn't suppress such a feeling, such a thought, but develop it. Take time to think about it and to ask some more questions. If you ever have young children, and most of the children here are quite old, but I'm sure the parents will remember, you take your young children in the car, you want to take them on a surprise journey to somewhere, a nice destination. And in the car, they will be saying, Dad, where are we going? Where are we going? Where are we going? And they say, I'll tell you, no, where are we going? Every 5 minutes. And they want to know where they're going. And say for us, we should want to know spiritually, where are we going? Where will we end up? What will be the final end point? You will never get on a bus, I hope. And without knowing where it's going, the first thing you want to know is, well, I want to get to such and such a destination. Where is this number 138, number 53, whatever it is going? Is it taking me to my destination? We would ask these kind of questions. We we have something also built into us to plan about our future. We naturally plan for things that are ahead of us, don't we? When you're students, as some of you are, maybe you plan to go to university, you plan your career, you're thinking now about it. What kind of career do I want to be? I want to be a doctor, I want to be an engineer, I want to be a lawyer, or whatever it may be. You're planning about it, and then once you start working, what happens? You're planning again. It's the first day you enter in, you're thinking, now, how shall I retire? When shall I retire? How much money will I have when I retire? You're already planning, you've only just started working and you're already planning for the future. It's something that's natural to you. So maybe you may have your bucket list. Maybe you have a list of things. Oh, before I die, I want to do such and such a thing. I want to visit this and this country. I want to read this and this books before I pass away, before I leave this world. You may have your own bucket list. You've thought, you've planned for your life. But have you planned for afterlife? Have you thought about where you're going? Have you made provision for it? Have you given time to think and to search? Because the Lord gives us the answer and tells us how we can be sure to know where we're going. And that's by trusting Him, of course, as we'll see in a minute. But many on this road, sadly, they don't want to leave the broad road. It's a comfortable road. It's a road where they're very happy because there are many appealing things to them on this road. There are things that satisfy them and they're happy with. We're living today in the selfie generation. Everyone is taking selfies and putting their selfies up on Facebook or letting everybody know on Twitter what they're doing every 5 minutes. And people like that. Oh, now I can be a star. Now I can, it suits people, the natural tendency we have to be in the spotlight, to be in the limelight, for people to notice us, for people to maybe applaud us. There are things that it appeals to us. We desire position maybe in life. And the world says, I will give you many opportunities to have position and respect from the world. We desire maybe a wealth, and the world again says, I can enrich you with my things. Or we desire to enjoy the lust, the sensual part of ourselves. And no one's going to say to you on this road, that's wrong. You shouldn't be doing that. You shouldn't be lusting after evil things. What is evil anyway? Today people are calling good evil and evil good. What is it? But on this road, no one will criticize you. You can indulge your sensual desires. You can indulge your lusts. And people like that because in us, it's not just outside of us, friends, but in us is this sinful heart that can cooperate, that likes, that links together with the lusts that are present, the temptations that come to us from outside. So these are just some things about the wide road and the people who are living a life without a God. They're not exercising any forethought. They're not thinking really about where they are going. They're not so concerned. In Hong Kong at the moment, you see there's a lot of trouble. There are a lot of protests and demonstrations because many of the young people there, they're extremely worried. The Hong Kong government tried to bring in a new law, an extradition law, so that anyone who is criminal could be extradited to China. And the young people thought, well, you can use that law in such and such a way. It can be abused, it can be misused in the future. And that's why they're protesting against it. They want the extradition bill dropped because they think maybe innocent people will be extradited to China. They've thought about the bill down the line, in the future, where's it going to take us, this policy? And so they're protesting against it, whether it's right or wrong, it's another matter. But they're exercising their forethought. And how about us again? What is our policy? Where is your policy taking you at the end of life? Where will it leave you? Have you thought about it? Are you considering these things? Well, the narrow road, secondly, the Lord says, straight is the gate and narrow is the way, verse 14, which leads unto life. And few there be that find it. Life. The narrow road represents a life lived with God, a life lived for God. And it's a wonderful road. It's a road where you can know God's blessing. You can know the Lord's help. You can know the prayer. You can pray to God and God will hear your prayer. I was talking to a man yesterday and he said to me, God doesn't answer prayer. I could only look and smile because you know, as a believer, he does. He does answer prayer and he has many, many times answered our prayer. What? The Almighty God, the Creator, the Maker of heaven and earth will condescend to listen to me, to you, if you pray to him? Yes. He prays and he answers our prayer. That's a great blessing. We have forgiveness of sins. Those who are on this road have forgiveness of sins from God. They have peace with God. They have peace with themselves because they have peace with God. So many do not have are troubled. So many people are disturbed because within themselves they find no peace, no rest. But for those who are on this road, they've found a rest with the Lord, through the Lord Jesus Christ. They found guidance, safety. This world is a dangerous place, my friends. You may think, oh, it's okay. It's a lovely place. It's a dangerous place. Because there are elements out there that are trying to ruin your life. Things out there which would want you to cause you to fall into sin, into deep sin, grievous sin, which puts a mark, black marks on your life. They can never be erased. And all these things are the Lord. If you know the Lord, for he protects you, he keeps you from such moral stains. He keeps you from not only physically as you're walking in this world, there are many dangers just crossing the road. And yet God also keeps us there, but spiritually, temporally, in life, he provides for us. You have someone to call on who is much greater than yourself. And that's what these people on this road, they're not only waiting for life in the future, which they will have in heaven, but also they have a measure of it now. And they love what they have found in it. But not everyone wants to get onto this road because, well, this road, after all, is straight. It's a very narrow gate and it's a very narrow way. So that doesn't appeal to people. You ask them to become a Christian, to believe on the Lord. It doesn't appeal to them because who wants to go a difficult way when there's an easy way? Well, it's much more natural for us to choose the easier route than the harder way, isn't it? And so there are many people here who don't want to get onto this narrow road because it's not an easy way. It's difficult because you have to first find it. The Lord said, blessed few there be that find it. You have to look for it. It doesn't come to you naturally. It's something that you have to search for. It's something that you have to seek after. That you have to take time to inquire and to ask and to hear the word of God and to hear about its requirements. And you have to spend time to look for this way, to look for this door. It's not easy to find in a world where there are so many different voices, to know the truth, to know the true way. And so you have to spend, but also because this narrow gate speaks to us also of the way that you have to come in onto this road. It's not, people don't like it because you have to humble yourself. You have to humble yourself before Almighty God. You have to confess to Him, Lord, I'm a sinner. I'm a bad person. I have an evil heart. I'm not a good person. I deserve to go to hell. I deserve eternal punishment because of my sins. Lord, I've rebelled against Thee, the eternal God, the holy God. You have blessed me with so much, but I've taken these things for granted. Instead of using Your blessings, I've misused them, I've abused them. You have granted me the opportunity to hear Your word again and again, but I don't respond to it. I take it for granted. Lord, have mercy upon me. That's the way that we come to God. We cannot come offering our own righteousness and thinking that God will accept that. We must come with humility. We must come with repentance, a willingness to forsake our sin and to be done with our sin, to give up our sins, to throw them away, to turn around from them, to be done with them, and also to submit to Jesus Christ, to hand over our life to Him, so that He becomes our Lord as well as our Savior. And we think, no, I can't do that. People struggle with these things. I think, well, that's a very difficult thing to do, to hand over my life, to repent, to humble myself. But this, and so many, sadly, are put off from following the Lord. Of course, it's an unpopular road, and there are fewer people on it than there are on the main road. Unpopular, you have to go against the stream. Everyone's going in one direction, you're going in the other direction as a Christian, as a believer. You're upholding God's standards, you're wanting to please God, you're wanting to follow His way, you're wanting to do His will, and everybody is going the other way. Well, that's not easy. That's difficult. But it's worth it. It's worth doing it. And so, yes, the Lord doesn't say it's a wonderful, rosy road that you're going. He says it's a narrow road. He says it's a difficult way. He says in other places you have to take up your cross and follow Him. And for some people that may mean you lose friends or you lose benefits. In China today, there are people who are being faced with this choice, Christianity or benefits. Which one? Christ or benefits? Christ or your job? Which one do you want? Sadly, some are saying benefits. But there are some who are genuine believers who are saying Christ. So there are people today who are places more difficult than where we are today, which are calling us, makes it a difficult thing to stand for God. So, but if you ask the people who are on this road, do you want to go back to the main road? Do you want to go back to the broad road? No way. We don't want to go back there. We don't want to. This road, yes, it's got its difficulties, but it's also got its blessings. It's got, and the blessings far outweigh the difficulties that we have. We have God as our help. We have God as our friend. We have God by our side. And as we said already, we have peace in our hearts, in our lives. God's blessing upon us and upon our families. Oh yes, some people laugh at us, some people mock at us, but that's okay. Because we have so much more. We have communion with Christ. We're learning new things from the Word of God. We've learned so much since I've been a believer. I never knew about how sin came into the world. I never knew about what's going to happen to the world. I never knew about why the world is in such a state as it is today. until I came in contact with the scriptures and the Bible. I cannot, these are precious things, these are truths that I've learned on this road. I cannot let go of them. And I have such a Savior, such love from Him. Oh, I deserve, I failed Him, I've disappointed Him many times, but He has been faithful in His love towards me. There is no Savior like the Lord Jesus Christ. And so they are unwilling to leave. And of course they know they have, the people on this road know they have a final destination, a happy destination. And they have this hope, as our brother prayed, we have this hope in us which keeps us going. That we have heaven prepared for us, a place prepared for us. And if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you also can know for sure that your eternal destination is heaven. And so Christ calls us, as He called the people here. He says, enter at the straight gate, even though it's difficult, even though it's hard. Enter in at this straight gate. And He calls for us all to enter in onto this straight gate, this narrow way. It's a road that He has made. If it wasn't for Christ, then there would be no eternal happy destination. There would be no, as it were, narrow road. But He has made a way. He came into this world and suffered and died on Calvary's cross to make a way for us to go to heaven. There was no other good enough to pay the price of sin. He alone could open the gate of heaven and let us in. So the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, has made this road. But despite all the calls, despite all the entreaties and the ways in which God calls people, maybe He has called you many, many times to leave the broad road, to leave that road that leads to loss. What is destruction, friends? It's not, don't think of it as being terminated. You won't be terminated at the end of life if you live without God. It's a life, to destruction is to lose everything, to lose God's blessing, total loss. Now you say, oh, maybe hell just means I'll be without God. Well, to be without God is to lose everything. Even here in this world, He's the one who keeps you going. He is the one who gives you breath. He's the one who gives you health. He's the one who fills your life even with the happy things that you have. Now imagine that all those things are removed from you. Every happy thing that you can think of is removed from you, as well as God's presence, which is the worst. Then that's a kind of destruction, that's a kind of loss. To be in that place forever and ever, separated from the one who is good and kind and willing to bless us now. So friends, this is our time. This is the time of our probation. This is the time when we must take life seriously. This is the time when we must turn to God. But many people sadly don't want to leave this road. They don't want to humble themselves and repent and submit to Jesus Christ as their Lord. They don't want restrictions. Some people think, well, if I become a Christian, there are many restrictions. There are so many rules to follow. I don't want to be a Christian. I want to have the freedom to do as I choose. It's a bit foolish, because life is full of rules. Do you want a road where people, a road without any transport rules? Everybody drives as they choose. Do you want a country without rules where everybody can do as they like and there's no one to fine you? There's no one to say you can't do that. You want the freedom to do these things? No. There will be chaos in the world if there are no rules. We need rules to keep things in place. We need rules. Rules is protects our freedom. It doesn't hinder our freedom. And so also the Lord's rules. Yes, there are rules for us to follow as Christians. but they're rules that lead to greater freedom. They're for our benefit, they're for our blessing. They're in place to be of great help to us and to keep us from harming and endangering our lives and endangering other people's lives, just like those transport rules and those country rules are. What about the consequences if we don't have any rules? Do you remember, well, maybe the 60s? I'm not old enough to remember the 60s. But the 60s, from what I've been told, was a time when people wanted to become sexually free. They wanted sexual freedom, to sleep with whom they wanted to sleep with, to be what they wanted to be. And they got it. And look where it's ended up today. Look where we are today because of what's happened in the 60s. Sexual freedom has led to the current mess, moral mess, really, that our country and other countries are in, because the rules were discarded, put off. We don't need these rules anymore. So there are consequences to these things. And just as I come to a close, just ask you again, dear friends, where are you going on this journey? Where are you on that end, that line? Where is your end point? When is your end point? You don't know. I don't know. But there is an end point. And then you will be in that one place eternally. Will it be with the Lord forever and under His blessings and enter into joys that are unimaginable here? Or will it be separated from Him and His love? Think about it, friends. Think about your final destination. Don't let the moments pass. Yes, there are many things in life that will crowd in to get your attention, to draw you away from spiritual priorities. But make this a priority in your life. I want to know where I'm going. I want to be sure about where I'm going. And if you come to the Lord and put your trust in Him, that's what faith is. What is faith? We say, have faith in Christ. What does it mean? It says, I'm going to trust in Jesus Christ. It says you may trust a family member, you may trust your father, your mother in certain things, because you can depend on them. So you can trust in Jesus Christ for salvation, to take you to heaven. And he says, if you do that, He will take you there. He will give you everlasting life. And that life, as you said, begins now, and you will enter into it in a much better way and a bigger way when you reach glory. So, dear friends, make preparations. This is what the Lord is trying to impress upon His hearers. Don't just go through life. Don't just go through life without thinking. Don't just saunter through life, allowing whatever happens will happen. Que sera, sera, whatever will be, will be. No. Be purposeful. Be solid. Be serious about life. And take the things of God seriously. Well, may the Lord bless these words to you. Let's pray together.